because I love you too much, baby. Why can't you see what you're doing to me? When you don't believe a word I say, we can't go on together with suspicious.
Song wasn't the single, but you weren't either. Living in Ladera Heights, the Black Beverly Hills, domesticated paradise, palm trees and pools. The water's blue, swallow the pill, keeping it surreal. Whatever you like, whatever feels good. Whatever takes your mind tonight, keeping it surreal. Not sugar free, my TV ain't HD, that's too real. Grapevine, mango, peaches and lime. Sweet life, sweet life, sweet life. Sweet life, sweet life. Sweet, 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 sweet life. You've had a landscaper and a housekeeper since you were born. The sunshine always kept you warm. So why see the world if you got the beach? Don't know why see the world when you got the beach. Sweet life, the best song wasn't a single. You couldn't turn your radio down. Satellite need a receiver. Can't seem to turn the signal fully off. Transmitting the wave. You're catching that breeze till you're dead in the grave.
But you're keeping it so real.
Whatever you like, whatever feels good, whatever takes your mountain high. Not sugar free, my TV ain't HD, that's too rare. Grapevines, mango, peaches and lime. A sweet life, a sweet life, a sweet life. Yeah, a sweet life.
And what's up, everybody? You are listening to the debut show of Anything Is Possible, a new show from me, James Gregoire, on WMFO 91.5 Medford.org, on the web, educational radio, a source of great joy to many a listener and many a DJ. You're listening to the wonderful sounds of Bad Bad Not Good, the instrumentals of their album Sour Soul from 2012, featuring DeWick's very own Ghostface Killah. We say that because he did an interview in DeWick, our dining hall, a couple years back. It was amazing. Anyways, for the debut show of Anything Is Possible, I decided to bring on my friends Brian and Jackson, both esteemed Tufts University scholars and athletes, and just across the board, chill dudes, and yeah, great dudes to talk about radio things with. How are you guys doing?
Doing pretty well, James. Thanks for having us on.
Good to be here, bro. Excited.
Yeah, make sure you're talking in the mic, but, you know, I'm glad you guys are here, and, yeah, it's gonna be a journey, man. It like every radio show, there's the build, there's the climax, rising action, falling action. You'll hear it all today. Yeah, thanks for listening. So, in the news about, human existence, we've been discussing this topic. Jeff, if you want to explain it.
The conversation is, how close are we to creating an immortal version of ourselves? Not necessarily biologically, but maybe in some sort of application or program that can respond in a way that you might have responded in your lifetime. You can live on and talk to your I don't know.
Like your
descendants.
Your social media presence is will continue. You will be able to talk to your grandchildren, your great-great-great-grandchildren via a software version of yourself.
Preserved all your memories, your typical reactions to things.
Yeah, it's just all reduce yourself to data. It's an interesting thought for sure. And also there's the question of, can we preserve ourselves? Can we actually achieve biological immortality? Jackson, what do you think?
More interesting, I thought, was the simulation. I thought he was going to go into the simulation theory, but
that's the other thing we're talking about today. Simulation theory. Please explain.
Elon Musk. I mean, basically, the thought is that the chances that this is base reality are somewhere in one in billions. And the idea is that, you know, if computer games have processed to the, you know, from evolved from like Pong to, you see, like the Madden video games these days. I mean, if you see evolution like that in less than 40 years, I mean, in the next 40 years, will we have stuff that's so lifelike that you can't distinguish it from base reality?
I mean, look at even these graphics engines today. I mean, come on. Like, that stuff is...
Dude, the new Grand Theft Auto, like, I remember that shit when it came out. It was awesome.
Look at the map of those games back in the day. San Andreas, it's just tiny. It's a miniature version of GTA 5, you know? It's incredible that we have what we have today and what we have planned for the future, the stuff that we will be able to achieve.
In VR, Facebook's Oculus, pretty crazy experience playing that the other day. I was standing on a column and I literally felt like I was gonna fall off. Can't even distinguish it.
No, that's spooky.
Dude, Google, Apple, all of them are experimenting in this. It's really cool. pace is like really, really quickly.
So what I'm trying to do right now is pull out my response from an esteemed professor here at Tufts University. You know, it's changed my life, you know, this class. To be honest, this class is known as From Bacteria to Bach and Back. And it's a class based around a book that has been released today, coincidentally. It's a book about, you know, the history of mankind, how we developed minds, and how the natural selection works, and how natural selection can be applied to culture as well. And yeah.
Is that like, do you know what big history is? Is that like that?
Big history.
Yeah.
Fill me in. What is that?
So that's, in high schools, they teach world history, you know, the history of civilization. But the thought is now to teach, like, from the Big Bang on.
Anthropology.
And, yeah.
Damn.
Mixing science and also just, like, Darwinian theory all throughout time. It's pretty cool.
I think that'd be useful to kids, you know? I mean,
we understand so little, I think, the average person.
Yeah, a lot of the book is about convincing what he calls lay people of some of these concepts and how to just think about them, you know, how to wrap your mind around such abstract concepts, like the idea that, you know, you're building to something, you know, it's not design, rather, It just happens in the way it does. You either mutate and progress and become adapted to live in your environment, or you just die. It's a cutthroat world. It's a doggy dog world. Anyways, his response to the question about simulation theory was, that he's not convinced. That we shouldn't be thinking about things that we have absolutely no. We shouldn't be accepting those things as reality when we have absolutely no evidence for them.
Yeah, because wouldn't evidence of that present itself at some point? I mean,
very, very well could, you know.
Yeah.
And we have seen no evidence of anything.
We have seen no off button, you know? Like, no.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
We've seen no evidence in our lives of anything. I mean, you can look at claims of glitches in the Matrix, claims of seeing supernatural creatures, magic, having experiences with... you know, religious experiences and such. But I mean, how are we to confirm anything that's ever happened in that sort of sphere?
Totally.
Alien encounters. I mean, I guess that's not in the same category, but most likely have never, ever.
And if they have, it's been like the best cover-up effort of all time.
Yeah.
Like fake moon landing, crazy conspiracy theory stuff.
Jeff, what do you think? What are your thoughts on this topic?
I'm a big proponent of the simulation theory.
I think it's very possible. It is very possible.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I don't know why I've chosen to explore it so much recently, but it's definitely a fascinating thing to at least think about and consider.
I mean, for a guy as smart as Elon Musk to endorse that as truth, you gotta wonder. Anyways, here on our program today, we have a wonderful selection of songs from a wonderful selection of artists. We hope you enjoy. We're gonna move on right now with a artist known as Real Estate, who just dropped their new single. The song is called Darling. Please enjoy. Trust me, it's good. You are listening to the wonderful sounds. Of Stevie Wonder here on WMFO.org. 91.5 WMFO educational programming and passionate listener base. There you go. You've been listening to Stevie Wonder as he goes in on one of his best tracks, known as As. I mean, it's inspiring stuff. Really is special to hear an artist like as esteemed and as awesome as Stevie Wonder here in our very own local radio show. We're moving on to the topic of the Super Bowl, which is today, in case you didn't know. What can I say? The Patriots versus the Falcons. Either way, whoever wins, there'll be a huge reaction here in Boston, the greater Boston area. People will either be pissed off and very angry in a bad mood for a long time, or they'll be thrilled and they'll throw a party and be very happy and celebrate. It's one of those two options. What will it be?
Experiencing a Patriots parade here in Boston would be pretty fun.
I definitely agree. I know a lot of people who say, you know, the Patriots are the villains in this matchup here. Most people are wanting the Falcons to come away victorious. In truth, you know, who knows? Who knows who will win the game? Both good teams.
Just appreciate greatness.
Yeah, man.
For the neutral. It's like you can watch one of the biggest upsets, or you can watch, you know, continuation of a dynasty. It's like...
it's special. Will Tom Brady get another ring? I mean, these are important things. He can, like, really build his case for GOAT quarterback if he comes away with a win.
People around here already think he is.
Yeah, man. Add to the legacy. Anyways, you know, it's just the Super Bowl is a unique event because if the advertisers have just so much reach. I mean, it's just massive. I mean, it's the scale is absurd. I mean, how many people watch?
I from my sociology class, we have to watch the ads, and we have to write, you know, post on whether the ad is sexualizing women, like a call to patriotism, or like overt product placement in, like, you know, like a childhood moment or something like that. It's really cool, like the different strategies they can get to you, man. Like, advertisers have so much power in this world.
I mean, we're asking the big questions right here. I mean, what is being said to, you know, our children and why, you know, and obviously, you know, we want to allow companies to, you know, promote their product in a
got the biggest
in a fair way.
I think Apple does a good job with its commercials, you know.
Definitely.
Pretty harmless and pretty creative. Do you guys see the commercial for, I think it was like a Dodge pickup truck? It came out, it's like a Super Bowl commercial. It came out early. It's basically this guy's speech going off about how God created farmers. And he just like admires farmers for like 2 minutes. And then they were like, buy a Dodge.
Yeah. It's like a clear appeal. So it's, you know, that, yeah, that middle America Christian farmer.
Yeah.
Dude, there's one anti-Trump one. Or, well, it's not being interpreted that way. It's like for Budweiser. It's like a commercial about the guy who made Budweiser's life, starting in Germany, getting on a boat, and starting a brewing company in the U.S. And it's like, you know, don't ban people, basically. Like, they have a stage to, like, place their opinions out there on anything.
I mean, corporations, man. I mean, they bring us a lot. They provide a lot of value. But, you know, we're asking the big questions. Who is behind some of the social norms within our society? Who is behind what becomes popular and what becomes accepted and what becomes common knowledge? A lot of it is in the hands of very few. And we have to ask ourselves, is that something we want to adopt, you know, as an individual? Or is it something we want to steer clear of? Humans are naturally wired to, you know, the social dynamics of human beings are pretty instinctual, and we want to, in a lot of instances, feel accepted to other people, feel like we are on the same page.
That's why we talk about the weather. It's like,
yeah,
weather, music, it's all common experience.
It's just so universal, you know. It's hard to find something more universal than weather, if you're talking about a local area, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody deals with it. Something that everybody experiences. It's the ultimate easy conversation starter. Not necessarily the most constructive form of even small talk.
No.
But yeah.
It's a dead end road talking about the weather.
Yeah. Brian Jerf, is a man who enjoys the weather. He really does. He, of all kinds, he appreciates it. And more than the weather, he enjoys talking in the radio. What are your thoughts on this topic?
I'd say that's fairly accurate.
I mean, what can we say? You know, it's just, it is how it is. You're listening to the wonderful sounds of Flying Lotus as our background music right now. Talented producer. Great guy, you know. Big anti-Trump guy. Collaborator with many great artists, including Kendrick Lamar. Here's another one from Bad Bad Not Good. That bass line, though, it's extra special. I mean, the components of songs. I mean, what makes a song good? You know, what makes a bass line really resonate with people? What is it?
You're asking the wrong person, then.
I mean, for me, it's the ease at which it is, you know, stuck in my head, I guess. It's how,
and can translate the energy of, like, the artist.
Yeah. When I think about it, I mean, I want it to bring a smile to my face. I wanna like the music.
Positivity music, you know.
Yeah, it's definitely good. It's definitely. I mean, as I've told you guys, I've been listening to a lot of Frank Ocean lately. We heard from him at the beginning of the show today. He's got, I mean, some incredible, just lines, you know, or like, melody lines, like, it's just a moment in music that can really bring strong emotions. You know, my favorite tune from his new album, Blonde, contains a song. It's called Siegfried. And yeah, I think it's special. It made me incredibly emotional getting up one morning. Yeah, I guess we'll, if you guys want to hear it, I'm going to throw that down.
Yeah, do it.
Hope you enjoy. Thanks for listening to WMFO 91.5.org, educational radio, anything is possible radio, with your hosts, James Gregoire,
Jackson, man,
and
Jerf.
Brian.
Ryan the Conversationalist.
The Conversationalist. Jerf. Anything is possible radio. We've got limited time. So I'm going to let Jackson introduce this next song. Go ahead.
So this is by Buena Vista Social Club. This is Chan Chan on their on an album of Latin artists from Cuba who got together in New York in the, I believe, 1998 to produce a couple of tracks. I hope you like it.
I mean, yeah. A special album.
Mambo music.
Yeah, positive stuff. I mean, stuff to make you dance, stuff to make you cry of happiness. To enjoy your life, to provide a soundtrack to your life that is enjoyable, brings strong emotions, and yeah. Thanks for listening. This is Chan Chan. Chan Chan. What is it?
Chan Chan.
Chan Chan. obviously a wonderful transition right there.
Dude,
we're back.
You're flipping the vibes.
I mean, you know, that's us. Anyway, we've been asked to talk about the subject of, what are you supposed to talk about? What's the subject? What were we asked to talk about? By our loyal listeners.
Oh. Sophie suggested that we talk about Ellen, but I think it was a joke.
We're gonna, you know. Yeah, Ellen. wait, what are we talking about? What? Was it Ellen? The Ellen Show?
Dude, you were literally talking to the least uninformed people on this. Or the most uninformed, my bad.
You know, movies are great. Let's talk about movies.
Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about movies. All right. Movies are great these days. I mean, come on.
What's coming out, Jerf?
Oh, you know, this year is going to be a big year for the big MCU. It's the Marvel Cinematic Universe. We're getting in a historic agreement, Marvel will be making the next Spider-Man movie, even though Sony owns the rights to Spider-Man.
I mean, that's huge. I mean, Marvel, I mean, the creative direction, you'd say, is in the right place. I mean,
yeah. From what I understand about it, it's essentially like Sony's making the movie, but they just hired all Marvel employees. That seems how it's going down. But yeah, no, hopefully we'll actually get a good Spider-Man for the first time. I really like the new actor. He's pretty good. Also, Thor Ragnarok is coming out this year, in addition to Guardians of the Galaxy 2. That's going to be a good one. And Thor Ragnarok is by a director named... what is his name?
What's his name?
YTT, something like that.
What's the movie called again? Thor?
It's W-A-I-T-I-T-I. Taika Waititi or something like that.
Where's he from?
I don't know. But he's done a lot of good work. He came out with a movie over the summer called Hunt for the Wilder People. I think I'm going to watch it at some point in the near future. Here it's pretty good.
So, yep. I mean... There you go. There you have
it. That's your movie minute from me.
Dude... Christopher Nolan, Dunkirk.
Oh, that's going to be a good one, yeah.
Yeah, war movie by Christopher Nolan.
It's interesting. Most of Chris Nolan's movies have some weird little, like, maybe not necessarily magic, but, like, some sort of, like, mystical element. Inception, Prestige, The Dark Knight. This is going to be the first one that's just a historical account of a great escape. I'm looking forward to seeing
Great Escape, Interstellar also did that.
Well, Interstellar was kind of weird, though. Interstellar was like the fifth dimension and stuff, right? That was like, it was kind of like pseudoscience.
Yeah, when I think about, hey, you know, who knows what's possible, first of all. Second of all, when I think about movies, you know, I'm thinking, dang, those movies are crazy these days, man. The effects they got. The movie magic is just out of this world.
It is pretty amazing.
I mean, it kind of. I mean, like, it's like the ultimate, like, popular culture way of showing the technology level of a given year. You know, what year it came out in? It's like how good the special effects are going to be, which is like,
dude, did you see Mad Max?
So cool.
Yeah, Mad Max is
incredible movie, right?
I do not understand how something like that is possible.
Yeah, the feats of CGI, they were pretty impressive. Although I know that they did stick to a lot of
original costume design, right?
Yeah, and I was gonna say, like, a lot of the stunts they, like, actually did, and they just installed a few of the effects, but pretty sure they totaled a bunch of cool vehicles in real life for that one. It's kind of amazing. Even TV shows have, like, the craziest CGI. Like Game of Thrones, probably $10 million an episode, you know? Just for an hour of insane entertainment and crazy CGI.
Dude, I think TV shows are the way that the world, like, the Netflix boom, so accessible, so many more viewers can see their stuff now.
Yeah, TV shows will always have the flaw of like they need to like end each episode with like getting people back to watch it again. Whereas like a movie, like you'll always kind of have that start end, except for in like movie series.
Well, and also
series and franchises.
It's hard work. I mean, I would say it's harder than a movie. To think of plot lines that last seasons, you know, hours.
Dude, but they're not as intricate a lot of the time, you know.
That's true, but
just,
if
like,
it's
linger
well
on
done.
And on. Yeah. It's a lot of them are based on a cool idea. You know, I think more shows need to come out that start and end, like complete storyline. They don't just go until they get canceled.
I agree.
Breaking Bad, great example of that. 5 seasons of glory, and then they went out.
I mean, think about a show like Community. I mean, they didn't even know if they were going to get canceled every year that they concluded their seasons, by the end, it was like every season is like this could be the end of the show. Yeah. Then it was like this could be the end of the show, but it's like then they just keep going. You know, they just find a new way to prolong the story somehow, and it's like, you know, just give them the heads up. Are they gonna have, you know, how many seasons? 6, 7?
Just write a story that ends. You know, you just
Big Bang Theory is still limping
that
along.
That one. You know, I used to like that one, and it's definitely past its time. Same with anyone watch the drama Suits?
I've heard of it.
It's on USA. It was like
Suits,
pretty
yeah.
good for a while. I really liked it, but it's had its day, you know.
Indeed, it has. Anyway, I was thinking the other day, you know, we're in the golden age of TV. I mean, can you think of a better period?
No.
And the answer is no.
Breaking Bad, Westworld, Game of Thrones.
And I'd also add that we're in the golden age of music. It's like the best time to be alive for a music fan. Think of this. You can just go on the internet, go on Spotify. You've got basically every song that you would buy in a store. I mean, it's just accessible to you there. I mean, for one fee. I mean, you got everything. I mean,
even SoundCloud is even more democratic.
It's unbelievable, yeah. It's
great.
It's incredible. I mean, and to think that there are more people able to make music with the technology, you know, bedroom producers, you know, people making all kinds of stuff in any way. I mean, one person leading a project, that's something you didn't see back in the day a lot. And now we've got bands like Tame Impala. I mean, we've got bands like Bon Iver,
dude,
Pond, or Gum.
Migos, who hit number one on the U.S. popular charts, recorded their first 2 mixtapes in a basement. And now they have the number one single in the U.S., and they probably wouldn't have ever been heard had it not been for the accessibility of technology. And, I mean, they stole their equipment, but...
Classic.
Yeah.
I mean, here we are in the WMFO studio. Love and life. Celebrating music and art. I mean, look at these walls.